If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end.
Garrett just threw a punch. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying.
And this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
Pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which... You know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes, I really haven't seen it anything like that yet.
Embarrassing, foolish, and bad representation of who we want to be and what we're trying to do with the rest of the season. And I made a mistake, and I lost my cool, and I regret it.
It's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now.
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches. I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
It's hard to argue with that, and here's a man who won't, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are on the road today. The Jim Beam Bourbon Tour continues. We have hit the Midtown, Gomer's in Midtown, 3838 Broadway Boulevard. That's basically 39th and Broadway. If you're familiar at all with how the city streets work here in Kansas City, that should have been apparent. Plus, the moose out front probably should have told you. Just something to consider. Just something to consider. Mm-hmm. Come on down and see us sampling. It's Friday, and they've got samples of the wonderful Jim Beam bourbons, all the great flavors you could possibly want. I will tell you, I have my personal favorites that are out there. You can come stock up for the weekend here at Gomer's. They got you covered. So if you're leaving anywhere around the downtown, Midtown, Plaza area, and you want to swing on by, easy in, easy out, and an incredibly huge selection for you to choose from. And, of course, sample all of the wonderful Jim Beam flavors. The Jim Beam girls are here. They will be happy to let you sample a flavor or two. Plus, we've got all kinds of goodies for you. We're going to be giving away a Yeti cooler at the end of this thing. It's worth, really, it's priceless is what it is. I mean, you tell me if you're at a game and you got to go from A to B and you need to take your cooler, would you like to be able to throw it on your back? And would you like it to have everything be absolutely ice cold? Of course you would. What is that worth when you're on a tailgate? The value is priceless. It's literally priceless. And then it's also an expensive cooler. I'm going to tell you that right now because, you know, this is the best of the best. We're going to give one away at 6 o'clock. You don't have to be present to win. So if you're ducking out early, as I know a lot of Kansas City does, on a Friday and you're already headed home, come by Gomer's, get signed up. If you win, don't worry, we'll call you. You just come right back here to this Gomer's and pick it up. So it's the best deal possible. Stock up for the weekend at Gomer's. Sample all the great Jim Beam flavors. Buy all the Jim Beam flavors. They even have mixers. You can try it any way you would like with all the different mixers to go with the different flavored ones. Big fan, maybe a flan too, but big fan of the peach. The Jim Beam peach is one of my absolute favorites. So come on in and give it a sample and check out all their great flavors. They got the Jim Beam security bags, T-shirts, flasks, all kinds of great goodies from our friends at Jim Beam. It is their World Bourbon Tour, the official bourbon of the Kansas City World and the world's number one bourbon. For a reason, if you haven't tried their great flavors, here's a chance for you to do it and then get stocked up right here at Gomer's in Midtown. Sample all the great flavors, Jim Beam Peach, Apple Fire. When you're at the Chiefs game, make sure you check out the Jim Beam Stillhouse Bar. It's right next to the Hall of Fame at Arrowhead Stadium. You can get refreshed with a little Jim Beam Peach Lemonade there. Remember, always drink responsibly. We do ask you to do that, as Jim Beam wants you to enjoy their wonderful bourbons for years to come. So be responsible in your consumption and sheer enjoyment of the Jim Beam bourbons. We would love to see you down here, so come on down. I will be sampling some bourbons because it's been one of those days. You know what I'm saying, Rudy? It's almost like I bought a new computer and I want to play with it, but I can't because I'm dealing with a repairman for like five straight days. That's what it feels like to me. How about yourself? Oh, that's your life. My bad. My bad. Rudy Salazar with me here at Gomer's, 3838 Broadway. So come on down and join us. And if you're here, console Rudy. I'm going to get you a bottle of bourbon before we go. Some great Jim Beam. You're a UK guy. This is how UK guys, you know, lost with the number one team in the country, lose to Evansville. Lost to Tennessee in football. That's a disgrace because they're no good. And now your fun little gaming computer with its extra meg and RAM sucks, and they won't come fix it. But at least you bought it from a company called Acme or whatever the hell. I've never even heard of whatever company you bought it from.
Was there a coyote involved?
Yeah. Was there a coyote who delivered it? Like a coyote whose legs spin over and over again? Come and deliver it. Did he get hit by a falling piano right after he gave it to you? Or was that you? You got hit by the... Okay. So come give Rudy a hug. Rudy would love a hug today. In fact, I'd come close, except for I'm sure there's probably... You know, because we have to act like somehow, you know, that we have these special laws. I would say I'll give you some bourbon if you give Rudy a hug, but I'm sure that's against the law, so I won't. But I'd like to.
Laws.
I'd like to give you some Jim Beam bourbon for a hug for young Rudy Salazar. He is he's hurting. He's hurting today, folks. He is hurting. Brand new fancy computer, and he's had it for 2 weeks and he hadn't been able to do anything with it.
You so if you want to spin around here, the old iconic line, please be kind to Rudy Salazar.
Yeah, please be kind to Rudy Salazar. He's had one of them weeks. One of them weeks, so come see him here. We are at Gomer's, and we'd love to see you here, and we'd love for you to give Rudy a hug. That would just be the best, a big hug for Rudy. Rudy loves his hugs. We got a lot to get to today. Jeremy Crabtree is going to be with us later this hour. We'll talk about the importance of these, the stretch run of the season when it comes to our college teams and the recruiting, what is at stake with the local squads. We will talk high school football as we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of the high school football season. So Jeremy Crabtree with us. Bob Glauber, NFL insider. Turns out, I was talking to Bob last night, he said he's hit like half a dozen people over the head with a football helmet. He, like, doesn't understand what the big deal is.
Just today.
So we'll find out. Bob Glauber, the ruffian, to join us later in the program.
Just today,
I love how, like, I'm talking and Curtis can't wait to talk and then I stop. No, there's nothing.
No, I just said just today he hit 10 people over the head with a helmet.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Just in the process of writing his latest column. He's like, would you leave me alone?
That's Bob. That's Bob. Probably be a hockey helmet, though, with Bob. He's more of a hockey player than he is a football player, even though he covers the NFL. Mm-hmm. 2 minute drill coming up at 4. We'll go to Cleveland, find out about Myles Garrett, who's done for the year, and maybe then some. Cannot come back until meeting with the commissioner. We're going to talk to Adam Teicher. He of the ESPN. And then we're going to hear a lot more. We'll wrap up. We'll go from Adam Teicher to the finish line with your calls. And then coming up after the program today, we've got some Kansas pregame as the Jayhawks get on to get ready to take on Monmouth. They'll take on Monmouth tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's how it's pronounced. Did you know that?
That's what I've heard. It's a colloquialism.
It's not. I actually had a friend who went to Monmouth, and there's also a racetrack down there. At least there used to be. I don't know. Those are kind of drying up. Monmouth Park used to be one of the bigger racetracks there in Jersey. It's south of New York City, down the Garden State Parkway, if you want to get to Monmouth. Went to a wedding once in Monmouth.
Mm.
That was a train wreck. Actually, it was my buddy who went to school in Monmouth. He got married there. I think he's divorced. Tell you how, I was in the wedding. Want to tell you how tight we are these days? Mm. I think he's divorced. I'm not sure.
Does he call you Pet?
He did call me Pet. He was more like, Pet.
I think I know who you're talking about then.
Yeah, no,
I don't,
you haven't met this guy.
Oh, okay.
This guy would define the word at the time and wore it as a badge of honor, Guido. Yeah, you got to remember, I went to college in 1989,
yes.
And he was from Edison, New Jersey, and he drove an IROC Z Camaro and wore Z Cavarici pants. Sweet gold chain. It was Jersey Shore before Jersey Shore.
Did he wear a white belt?
No.
Oh, so it didn't.
No. No, no, this is Joe Ridgey.
Okay.
This is a different guy. Different guy.
I love it.
Did not wear a white belt. But he did wear the Zeke coverage. Good guy. I have nothing against him. We just kind, sure. of, kind of drifted apart over the years.
It happens.
All right. Let's get started with the news of the day. Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers play last night. 8 seconds to go in the game. I'm not watching. I'm done with that turd. Then I get a text from a friend down in Austin who says to me, NFL players beating the hell out of each other. And I sent back question mark.
Yeah.
To which he's like, didn't you see the end of the Browns-Steelers game? Was there a reason why in a 21-7 game I should still be tuned in to the last 8 seconds with one team that's got the ultimate, you know, spoiled brat quarterback and the other one that's got a quarterback that shouldn't be playing, but somehow Mike Tomlin is nursing into victories 4 in a row before last night? Is there a reason I should be watching the end of that game? Did we think some spectacular ending was going to happen? No, the answer was no, not football-wise, but we did get it. Instead, it ended up being thuggery. At least that's what I've heard it called. Let me say this right now on this subject. I'm not going to spend a real long time because what are we, you know, we were discussing this today. I was like, what do you want to do? Open up the phones and have people say hitting somebody over the head with a solid object is not appropriate behavior in any way, shape, or form? Should we do that?
That is not appropriate behavior, okay?
I was appalled. I coach kids. And they saw that.
Listen, it was wrong. It was bad. When all the players in the league are tweeting out about it, you know it's a big deal. But let me say this. Stop. Spare me. I love everybody saying, Damian Woody said, I have never seen that on the football field before. Maybe you've never seen it on a football field that you were on. But if you tell me you have not seen that on a football field of any kind, then you live a sheltered life and you don't do a lot of time getting ready for your job. Because every training camp, every summer in a training camp, we see something almost exactly like this. Now, the difference is that sometimes the helmet gets ripped off one player and then is used to hit somebody else. But training camp fights happen all the time. So the entire NFL Players Association can spare me this pearl clutching, this oh my God reaction to this, because it goes on in training camp all the time. Any kind of joint practice, that's why I think Andy Reid is really smart to not bother with joint team practices and training camp, because they all end up like this. They all end up in fights. And okay, so a helmet got pulled off and hit the guy over the head. Fortunately, he hit him with the downward part of the helmet to where it didn't get the full impact of had he swung it and hit him with the crown of the helmet. All right? Yes, fortunately. But guys get helmets ripped off, and they get swung at guys in training camp, I would venture to say, every single year. And nobody freaks out about it then. They freak out about it now because this is when it counts and there are suspensions on the line. It's not the actual action that everybody's freaking out because people love the training camp fights. There are people I know who go up to St. Joe wanting to see the training camp fights. So you fans, most of you anyway, don't act like you're appalled by this, that this is somehow some subhuman activity that's going on. You go to camp looking for fights. Players go to camp looking for fights. Other teams come in and somehow they can't physically control themselves. Oh, I'm so into it. It's so intense that I've got to fight and brawl around and throw punches and be the third guy in and sucker punch guys. It goes on at every training camp. We don't act appalled because there's no ramifications for it. The only thing that made this appalling is we knew it happened in a game and we knew that the commissioner would be filing some kind of suspensions all over the place. Listen, I'll make you a case that the most appalling thing in this, because Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett were at least jawing at each other. Mason Rudolph was fighting back initially. Then he just started to get the worst of it. Myles Garrett ripped his helmet off. The worst part of it may be Marquise Pouncey coming in, flailing away, but then when he's down, trying to kick him. Trying to kick him, and then players in the NFL tweeting, way to go, Marquise Pouncey. Always got to have your teammates back. Really? Two wrongs make a right. Okay. It's pathetic, and it shows to me one thing. The incredibly infantile mindset of the players and oftentimes us, the fans. Because these things happen all the time. And we just know that there's no penalty coming to training camp, so we don't get appalled. We knew that Myles Garrett was looking at probably not playing the rest of the year, which is now the case, and maybe part of the year next year. But for the NFL to act like they're appalled by this, I've talked about this many times, that we sit there and we act like the NFL players are so emotional, they can't possibly control their emotions. I've tried to say a number of times, listen, we expect police officers to be in and even military people to be in life-risking moments. And then when we get the situation under control, they're not supposed to have any kind of emotion or activity towards the person they've been chasing, who may have been shooting at them or forcing them to drive after them at 100-plus miles an hour and putting their life in danger. They should immediately be able to turn off that adrenaline and stop. We have laws that state they have to do it. We put cameras on their bodies to make them stop immediately. So we've got proof so that we can bust them if they go too far. And we should, because they should be able to stop, because they're a human being. But it's a lot to ask. It is a lot to ask for police officers and first responders and military people, and I'm talking about on the battlefield, to then suddenly become, well, let's remember the Geneva Treaty Convention. Or to have fallen comrades go down and then suddenly, in an interrogation situation, play by the rules. It's a lot to ask. If we can't even ask our freaking football players to conduct themselves like human beings while playing a game. While playing a game. Listen, I've said this before. We got to look in the mirror, right? I usually talk about teams. If you're Kansas State and Chris Klieman wins 9 games for the next 9 years, and you go, listen, that's not good enough. We're going to fire him because he hadn't won a national championship. I don't think you're looking at the same thing in the mirror that I'm seeing. Right? You got to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. You got to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself about what you expect of people. And then you've got to be fair. Another thing I like to say is I don't care what the rules are as long as we're all playing by them. You're not going to get any massive judgmental statement from me on Myles Garrett. First of all, I thought his comments afterwards, he did a pretty good job of owning it and saying, I made a mistake. I screwed up. It's unacceptable. He knows what he did was wrong. Me, some fatty talk show host, sitting in Kansas City berating a guy because he lost his cool and did something that gets done in training camp. Probably nearly every training camp, every year, is hypocritical at best. I support the league. I watch these things happen all the time. I stood in River Falls, Wisconsin, and watched Eddie Freeman pull the helmet off John Tate and smash him over the head with it, lacerating his forehead and putting him out for the rest of preseason. I watched it. I covered it. I did nothing. Other than report the story, other than stand there when Dick Vermeil actually lost his cool when he was questioned after a scrimmage a couple of days later as to what was going on with Eddie Freeman. Dick Vermeil, a guy I truly enjoy, consider friendly. We're not buds. We don't chat on the weekends. We're not going for beers, no Coronas, well, or a glass of wine in Dick Vermeil's case. But I genuinely like and respect the man. I think he respects me. But he became enraged at the idea of anyone asking, are you going to suspend Eddie Freeman? Dick Vermeil ended up lashing out and saying to the Kansas City media, if his stupid helmet didn't come off, you wouldn't even be talking about this. He seemed more upset at John Tate for not having his helmet strapped on tighter somehow, so that Eddie Freeman couldn't rip it off his head and then use it as a weapon over his head. That's the mindset of the National Football League. And it has changed very little today. The player safety issue is just simply to keep the moneymaker going. It's not like I really believe any owner truly, really cares about what happens with these players. But we don't want to mess with the moneymaker. And right now the fans say they're outraged. We're not outraged enough to quit watching, so you're really not that outraged. There are things that have pissed me off. You go to a store and you just absolutely are awful, I will never come back. I will never patronize your store again. But I'm coming back to the NFL. I'm going to be watching. I was not so appalled. And what bothers me is at least be honest that you're going to watch anyway. Don't act so damn appalled if it's not going to drive you away from the game. Because this occurs all the time. This occurs all the time. Even at the stake of having penalties for personal fouls. What did you have? You had an obvious helmet-to-helmet hit on Juju Smith-Schuster last night that looked like it concussed him, took him out of the game the rest of the way, and the player ran around throwing a tantrum, for God's sake. How are you going to be throwing me out? I don't know. You led with your helmet into the other player's helmet. I'm going to watch. I'm going to be there. So, look, should he have done it? No. Does everybody know it? Yes. Did, shockingly, the Cleveland Browns react well? Yes. Everybody but Baker Mayfield, who should just shut up. I don't know where he needs to be thinking. He's the moral compass. And I'll be honest with you, if I were Myles Garrett, I'd be looking for Baker Mayfield and saying, are you kidding me, you horse's ass? You're going to sit at a podium and you're gonna judge me? You're going to chastise me? This is where I think the Browns are doomed, because I don't think your quarterback can be a doofus or a D-bag, as I pretty much think Baker Mayfield is, at least at this point in his career. He would command no respect. I think the Browns are a team that will now crumble. Not because they can't live without Myles Garrett, but make no mistake about it. They lost a really good player. But they'll crumble because the infighting begins. Where does Baker Mayfield get off looking down his nose? And frankly, where does anybody get off looking down their nose at Myles Garrett? These things happen all the time. Quit acting like this is the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And by the way, if it is the worst thing you've ever seen in your life, my God, say a prayer tonight of thanks, because you have lived an awfully, awfully, awfully sheltered and wonderful existence. 913-3810-810. We'll take a break. I want to get into some other topics. I want to get into the Chiefs coordinators today. We're on the road with the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. It's, you know, my favorite kind of tour, bourbon. You can come sample all the great Jim Beam flavors right here at Gomer's in Midtown, 39th and Broadway, 3838 Broadway Boulevard. If you want to GPS it, you can come by, sample the peach, sample all kinds of great Jim Beam flavors. The number one bourbon in the world, it's Jim Beam, and they've got all kinds of great flavors for you to sample. I don't know, probably five or six of them are sitting on my bar at home. You come out, check out, find the best one. You're going to like two or three. Plus, they got all kinds of cool swag, like Jim Beam security bags, the clear security bags that you can take into the game. They've got the Jim Beam towels, flasks, foam fingers. You got to have a Jim Beam number one finger, don't you? I'm going to try to clip one of those when no one's looking. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to try to snag one. We'll see if I get away with it. Come see us here today, and feel free to give Rudy a hug. 3838 Broadway Boulevard. It's the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour live at Gomer's in Midtown.
The Program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we are on the road. Your chance to stock up for the weekend is right here at your Gomer's in the Midtown. If you're anywhere around here, listen, you ain't working. Come on. Quit kidding yourself. Nobody works after 2 o'clock on a Friday in this town. I know it. I've seen everybody out there. So get over here to Gomer's and stock up for the weekend. Start looking ahead to the holiday season. Jim Beam Bourbon Tour is going on. All the Jim Beam flavors, you can come check it out. They got all kinds of great goodies, from Jim Beam T-shirts, foam fingers. You know, they got the towels, all while it lasts, of course. And we're getting people signed up to win a Yeti cooler, a Jim Beam Edition Yeti cooler, which is the ultimate tailgate cooler, as it's a backpack, big old backpack with straps and a Yeti cooler. It is the coolest thing going. It can be yours. We're going to draw it at 6 o'clock. Don't got to be present to win. Just come on down and take advantage of it. The number one bourbon in the world is Jim Beam, and their Jim Beam Bourbon Tour continues here at Gomer's, 3838 Broadway, 39th and Broadway, basically. That is where we're at. We'd love to see you here. Stop on by and say hello. Jeremy Crabtree's coming up here in a little bit. I want to give you a chance to hear a little bit of Eric Bieniemy. First of all, let's do Steve Spagnuolo first, because I really appreciate this. This is a short one, 24, Jed. This is Steve Spagnuolo when asked about the touchdown that came, the short touchdown run by Derrick Henry, where the Chiefs had only 10 men on the field. Steve Spagnuolo basically putting it on himself.
Yeah, that's my mistake. They did not switch personnel, I don't believe, and I decided to switch personnel. So in hindsight, leave the guys out there that are out there. So now, having said that, you know, we're all responsible to get 11 out there. The other guys went out, and that's the way it works. But we can't have that happen.
Total confidence, not panicking, admitting what it was that happened there, taking it on himself. And I know people say, well, Andy Reid says that one's on me all the time. I get it. But that's also a sign of a quality coach, right? I know it's not what you want to hear, but that's what good coaches do. Listen, we have watched coaches, and God bless them and God rest his soul. I love Gunther Cunningham, the man. But if Gunther made a mistake, he was going to spar with you, and it was a sign that he was insecure and not completely convinced of what he's doing. Steve Spagnuolo may need to be fired one day, but it ain't going to be because he's not sure of what he's doing. And I still feel like the Chiefs are in really good hands with Steve Spagnuolo. And had he come out this week and been defensive, and he got hit, this was not a fun day for the coordinators out there at Arrowhead. They got hit with a lot of things that they didn't want to talk about. Dave Tobe got hit with all the problems they had on special teams. He didn't like standing up there answering that. Eric Bieniemy got hit with what was going on 3rd and 2, whether or not they were going for it. Why didn't they go for it? Basically, the gist of what Josh Briscoe was asking him was, hey, 4th and 2, 4th and 3, 4th and 2, you're settling for field goals. You know, where was the conversation about going for it? And why not? Basically, we're saying, why not go for it right there? And, you know, that's not a comfortable position to be in. Yet all three of them, I thought, did a great job of standing up there. And, you know, maybe Eric Bieniemy the most. Steve Spagnuolo's been a head coach. Dave Tobe, I think, has been ready to be a head coach for a long time. I think Eric Bieniemy's ready to be a head coach as well. And I'll give you an example of why. Because this is one, he's probably the most junior member in his role as offensive coordinator, just a couple of years in the position, as opposed to Spagnuolo, who's been head coach and a defensive coordinator for many years. Dave Tobe's been an assistant head coach of this team for a long time and been a special teams coordinator for a long time. But here's Eric Bieniemy. I think this is of note, not because it's like a big, you know, deal, like was Bell healthy or not, but I think it speaks to something that, listen, we're talking about the nth degree when it comes to Andy Reid. What do we discuss here? Why isn't he winning close games? Right? When it's a decided advantage, he rolls people. We know if he's even, he's probably leaving. Right? To use a basketball term. And because he's going to coach better. Over the course of 60 minutes, he's going to crush you. But sometimes you're outgunned, or sometimes you run into a team that's better, or sometimes you run into a coach who's better. And what ultimately is going to judge on Andy Reid here moving forward is how they handled things in those last 2 minutes. And I saw some people, and I had some people kind of say, well, what was your hang up on whether or not Blake Bell was healthy? Because he's not practicing now. From an injury that happened in-game. How is he healthy enough to play in-game, but now he can't even practice? How does that happen? He clearly should not have been in the game, is the only conclusion that I can reach. So why was he in the game? And is it because of the machismo of the NFL player that I can go, coach, I can go, that it's just beaten into them like a starting pitcher in baseball that I always got time for one more. I got one more play in me, Skip. I can do it. Blake Bell was involved in 2 critical plays. And maybe he's not quite as quick getting off the line, or maybe he can get out and stop the punt, the field goal block if he's playing on 2 good wheels. But he's not, he's playing on 1. So the culture has to be ingrained in these players that if you're going to hurt the team, you've got to come off the field. But yet the game, and maybe this is it. Maybe you sacrifice this game and these plays to make them push themselves beyond what is a healthy limit, so that you can get the victory. Maybe that's what it is. And yes, 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 10, you lose the game because Blake Bell pushed himself. I'd rather find when a guy knows he can do the job or he can't do the job and be able to trust that guy, not have to try to ingrain the idea of forcing himself to play, forcing all players to play beyond what is actually healthy. Eric Bieniemy asked today if Bell was the only option, which, as we think we know from the breakdown from Seth Kaiser, started with, is he the only option on that 3rd and 2 play?
He was the only option on that play. You know, every week we sit and have these discussions on scenarios that come up. Kudos to Tennessee. They did a heck of a job. They defended it. They made the play when they needed to make it. We didn't make the play.
So Pat's only option there, once Blake Bell's covered, is to try to run for it first down.
I thought he did a smart job, staying in bounds, keeping the clock running.
But that's it. Just to follow up on that, that's it. His run is the only other option he's got.
Exactly.
So on Blake Bell, he left the game, came back into the game, and now he's not practicing this week. So it seems like that was a fairly serious injury, right, if he can't go now. So I'm curious how the lines of communication work as to him coming in. What I'm getting at is he limping around and not really able to get open on that play, but somewhere the line of communication broke down and he shouldn't have been in the game, and therefore you had a player who couldn't make the play he was designed to make.
No, there was no line of communication that was broken. At that time, he was up. He was playing. He was able to go. So we called the play that we felt that was the best play for our interest at that particular time with a player that was up and playing. So that was the play.
Is it on him to decide whether or not he's up or not? I mean, whether or not he can go? I just want to understand how it works. I know injuries are a big secret veil in this league, but the guy's not practicing 4 days later, but he was okay and up at the time. I know everyone's a tough guy. They want to go out and gut it out. But did the team get hurt because a guy who couldn't execute was on the field?
Mitchell Schwartz got hurt. He lined up and played. Cam was hobbling around. He lined up and played. There were a number of guys who took some shots and found a way to get themselves back on the field. So Blake was one of those guys, and I commend him for his effort and what he gave us. So, yes, he was on the field.
You know, listing off a group of guys that were out there playing hurt, I mean, it's a complete avoidance of the question. He can't even practice 4 days later. Should he have been on the field? Quick quiz. Should he have been on the field?
No.
No.
I mean, isn't it as simple as that? Right? Well, something has broken down. And I have no problem with them dancing around and not really answering the question. I really don't. I have no problem whatsoever with that, because they have a system, but they need to get better at it. Listen, you're in the get it right business, and you got to get it right in the last 2 minutes. And if there was a healthy body that could have been out there and maybe at least got an arm out and a push out on the field goal block, maybe you win that game. These are the little things. And just saying, oh, well, we're tough guys, and this guy gutted it out, that guy gutted it out. Yeah, did one guy gut it out who screwed your team because he couldn't move to get open on the 3rd and 2 and he couldn't get out the block, the rush on the field goal? Then you've got a fundamental problem in how you do business.
And the two guys he mentioned are practicing this week. Blake Bell isn't. Big difference.
Yes. Listen, I, like I said, he handled things really well. Eric Bieniemy did. My purpose on this is not to get people angry at Steve Spagnuolo, on Eric Bieniemy, on Dave Tobe. That's how they have to answer the question. But maybe we'll get to it later. I know the guys on the zone played it, but it's like I said to Eric Bieniemy later on. I said he mentioned something about what his job is, and I said, yeah, and ours is to ask the questions. That's what we're there to do. All right, you want to know why Andy Reid doesn't win in the last 2 minutes? Well, we're going to try to turn over every stone to try to figure it out. I'm completely optimistic that the answer is going to be Patrick Mahomes, and now he does. But we know he's 2-4 in games decided by 3 points. 2-4 with Patrick Mahomes. That number's got to get better, or something's not being done right. And I will be there when almost every time to ask the questions to try to figure out what the hell they're doing wrong. We'll take a break. Jeremy Crabtree never does anything wrong. He's absolute perfection on recruiting and high school football. He's coming up next here in the program. We're on the road. You cannot go wrong on the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. We're at Gomer's here in Midtown, 3838 Broadway. That is where you'll find us, basically 39th and Broadway. Come on in. Take advantage. You can sample all the great Jim Beam flavors. Get stocked up for the weekend. Jim Beam has all their great flavors, like the peach, the apple, the fire. Come sample it. And, of course, I got all kinds of great goodies for you as well. So on your way home today, make sure you come by here. Gomer's, 39th and Broadway.
The program with Soren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's worked under the Friday night lights for 20 years.
I ask you if you think we can get the job done.
Think so.
Well, you're going to have to do better than I think so.
From Excelsior Springs to Bonner Springs, from Liberty North to Olathe South, no one knows high school football the way he does.
He got some nuts! This is our team! This is us! Let's go right now!
He's our high school football and college recruiting expert, Jeremy Crabtree.
Can you live in that moment as best you can with clear eyes and love in your heart? If you can do that, gentlemen,
then you're perfect.
On the program.
Like I said, the only guy who's perfect, Jeremy Crabtree, undefeated when it comes to breaking down, analyzing the recruiting in the high school football. He joins us on our Sprint guest line as we broadcast live from Gomers. 39th and Broadway, stock up. A good buddy of mine just strolled through. He confirmed. He said, I heard you. You said nobody works after 2, and I sure as hell wasn't working. And so he strolled in, and he's getting stocked up here at Gomers and sampling some of the great Jim Beam bourbon flavors. Apple, honey, black, vanilla, peach. Give the peach or apple a try, my friend. Yeah, I'm a fan of both. Go for it. And I love the black, extra aged. It is a great, great bourbon. You can come check it out. All the great bourbons from Jim Beam, the number one bourbon in the world, the official bourbon of your Kansas City Royals is Jim Beam. So we'd love to see you here. They got all kinds of great goodies, swag, knickknack, bags, security bags for the Chiefs, T-shirts, flasks. I think the flasks might be gone. I totally wanted one of those little Jim Beam flasks. Would have been perfect. Come down and ask them. Maybe they got more. They got some cool boxes filled with swag. You can come check it out here at Gomers. 39th and Broadway. Let's talk to Jeremy Crabtree. Jeremy, welcome to the Sprintcast line. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Ready for another lovely night of high school football. It's going to be a perfect environment.
Yes, it is. And we start to get some really good games now, don't we?
Oh, yeah. No, we're certainly we're passed through the first couple of rounds on both sides of the state line. We're in the quarterfinals in Kansas and regional district championships in Missouri. So, yeah, we're to some great, great high school football. Every single game matters tonight.
All right, let's talk about Blue Valley North, number 25, and our 810 Varsity Top Tribe. By the way, go to 810varsity.com, see top 25 rankings, see all kinds of breakdowns, see the standings, see the brackets for the high school playoffs, and, of course, actually watch the games. That's right, live streams of dozens of the high school football games. You can get it at 810varsity.com. How about Blue Valley North getting the upset of Gardner-Edgerton, and do they keep it going against number 20 Blue Valley?
I think it's really an intriguing matchup. I mean, Blue Valley North has caught fire at the perfect time, winning 3 straight, as you mentioned, holding on a 2-point conversion. Ryan Cornelson, the coach at Gardner-Edgerton, went for the 2-point conversion to win the game in the final minute, and Blue Valley North's defense came up big. And you know, keep in mind, this is a Blue Valley North squad that has played for the 6A state championship in back-to-back seasons, winning it 2 years ago, falling to Derby last season, and they really struggled early on without Graham Mertz, the Wisconsin quarterback, but they figured things out. Henry Martin is a young QB, has made some major leaps down the stretch, and then Boogie Allen, their running back, is blown up in the playoffs. He had 100 yards, 3 straight games, and 4 touchdowns during that stretch. So I think that North has caught fire at the right time, but on the flip side, Blue Valley has got some outstanding defense. They've figured things out. They've held some good offenses in check most of the season. I'm still kind of curious to see how good Blue Valley is, though, because they've beaten the teams that they've needed to beat, and but I just don't know how good they are. We'll find out here tonight against a very, very good and red-hot Blue Valley North squad.
Well, we know in our A-10 varsity top 25, Liberty North has been number one. They've been there for probably about 7 or 8 weeks, I think, since they took it over, and they've left little to the imagination as to anybody else being there. But Ray Peck is really good. So in Missouri Class 6, we do finally get a team that might be able to challenge Liberty North.
No, I think Rockhurst, I think people that watched that game last week, Rockhurst certainly gave Liberty North everything that they could handle. And if you talk to some folks in the Rockhurst camp, if they don't turn the ball over 3 times, they think that they beat Liberty North. So Liberty North is battle-tested. They do have a very good quarterback. And Jake Van Dyne, I know you've heard me gush about him all season long, and he is easily one of the leading candidates for player of the year. They have that. They have the home crowd, but something tells me that this Ray Peck squad's a little bit different, and they potentially could pull the upset. I'm picking Liberty North, but I do think Ray Peck has a 3-headed monster on the offensive side of the ball and is playing great defense. On offense, Conrad Holly's been playing outstanding during the stretch. Philip Fager had 200 yards in rushing the past couple weeks, and then KU-bound receiver Luke Grimm, who catches everything thrown in his direction. That's going to be tough for this Liberty North defense to stop, so I think that Ray Peck has the offensive firepower to go punch for punch with Liberty North on the offensive side of the ball. I think the home crowd environment propels Liberty North through, but it would not surprise me one bit if Ray Peck wins this game.
Okay, I like this game. Let's talk about Class 6A on the Kansas side. Blue Valley West, 7-4, number 22, against Olathe North, number 6, at 8-2, because these are two programs. Blue Valley West was really pretty good there for a while, and then they just bottomed out. I remember just like 2 years ago watching Aquinas just stomp the field with them. Now they're back up at 7-4. They're playing pretty good football. Olathe North, we know, was just an absolute dominant power for years around here in high school football. How's this one look to you?
No, you hit the nail on the head. If you're just playing by tradition, then Olathe North's going to win this game no problem at all. But Blue Valley West, we had them last week. They played outstanding defense, and their defense has really carried them. They're also running the ball effectively on the offensive side of the ball. But West doesn't have Arlen Bruce. Arlen Bruce is the most dynamic player in the Kansas City metro area, maybe the entire most dynamic offensive player in the state of Kansas, and will be a name that will be heavily, heavily courted by recruiters next season. Already has a couple of major offers. He's accounted for 2,300 yards, Saran, and 40 touchdowns this season, and he gets it done through the air. He gets it done running the ball. He gets it done on receiving. He's also, when they need him to play defense, he goes in and plays on the defensive side of the ball. So he's the most dynamic player, not named Tank Young or Jake Van Dyne, left in the, playing in the playoffs. I think Olathe North has too much firepower with him to win tonight.
All right, tell me about Raytown, 9-2. I love seeing Raytown getting back up over the last couple of years as well against Fort Osage. Do they keep it rolling in the Class 5?
Oh, this is a rematch of one of the best games of the season. Earlier this year, Fort Osage beat Raytown 32-28, largely because running back Dom Myers had 200-plus yards rushing and three touchdowns. I think this is going to be interesting because Joe Campbell, the quarterback that we've been talking about for his play for years now, last couple of years, he's been stepping his game up during the playoffs. Then Dante Manning, one of the most coveted recruits in the Metro, he's been doing double duty on both sides of the ball. I think Fort Osage is the higher seed, but I think Raytown is the better team.
All right, tell me about some of the recruiting that's going on here real quick. By the way, you can catch Jeremy Crabtree's Over the Middle podcast as well, where you get podcasts. It's a must listen to if you love the recruiting side of things. Over the Middle, his great podcast, and you can check that out. Tell me, Mizzou, what is the losing that's gone on for Mizzou doing to their recruiting right now?
Well, they picked up two commits this weekend, so obviously prospects, or this week, prospects like what they're still seeing in the Tiger program. They went down to Florida and picked up defensive backs, Tyler Jones and Jalon Charles, and those are two quality players, 17 commitments for the Tigers right now. I think they'll probably take five or six more, but those numbers are pretty fluid. You know, I think the recruits still like what the Tigers are selling.
Yeah, as they should. It's a great school, but a big game. We'll see what happens if they get throttled by Florida, if that doesn't change the tune of some. And K-State, they're winning, and even when they don't win, they lose tough like they did against Texas. How's Climate? What's the latest on Climate's recruiting?
Yeah, they picked up an offensive line commitment from Dawson Delforge, a kid originally from Wamego, Kansas, that went to Butler College down there in El Dorado, Kansas. He committed to them. They really need more offensive line help. That's the one thing the K-State does have that's helping them be able to run the ball so effectively, is they've got such a great senior-laden offensive line. They're going to hit the JUCO ranks to kind of replenish that, and Delforge is a very, very good player. And I think also keep in mind they do have two defensive backs coming in from Florida for official visits this weekend, and K-State would love to add more help to the defensive side, especially DB.
All right, and lastly on Kansas, what's at stake for the Jayhawks over these last three games? Because they've had some big ups and some big downs. The down against Coastal Carolina, certainly going toe-to-toe with Texas was a great accomplishment, beating Texas Tech. But at the end of the day, they're a big dog this week and will be for the next 2 weeks, and they'll come home at 3-9. What is this season doing for their ability to replenish their what we know is a very barren cabinet of talent?
Well, I think this weekend's game's actually rather significant for them because, as you alluded to, they're going to be probably big underdogs in the rest of the games against Iowa State and Baylor. But if they can show some progress and stay in this game against an explosive Oklahoma State offense, that's going to send a signal to recruits that, okay, well, they're taking steps up. They're playing close and against very good opponents, and prospects like seeing those types of things. They don't like seeing your team go out there and get beat by 30, 40 points. They like like. They like it, even if they do lose playing in close games. That's something that Les Miles would be able to go out and kind of finish the rest of this 2020 class. Granted, they're at 24 commitments right now, and a lot of it's just trying to keep the pieces in place. But as they go out to start recruit for next year's class, if they're able to sell the fact that, hey, we almost beat Texas, we were right in there against a very good Oklahoma State squad, those are positive signs that they could sell. But if they go out and get blown out these last 3 weeks, that's going to make it awful tough to sell the positivity.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a big 3 weeks for Kansas. Need to show something in these final 3 weeks.
Yep.
Jeremy Crabtree, can read his work at 810varsity.com. Hear him on the Game of the Week. It'll be over on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City 94.5, because we've got Kansas basketball here, but you can check out Blue Valley North and Blue Valley there. And, of course, see it all on 810varsity.com. Jeremy, you're the best, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, take care, Saren.
All right, Jeremy Crabtree, 810varsity.com. Remember, dozens of games available at 810varsity.com for you to check out this weekend as the playoffs are rolling on. I said dozens as in plural, but we're getting down to so few games. That might not be true, so I apologize. During the regular season, there are dozens of games that you can stream live on 810varsity.com. That number's getting down. But scoreboard updates, and, of course, the game itself you'll hear on ESPN Kansas City 94.5. We're at Gomers. 39th of Broadway. It's the Jim Beam Bourbon Tour. Come sample all kinds of great Jim Beam flavors right here at Gomer's, 39th of Broadway.
End of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC Sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, four players have had 5,000 yards rushing in their first 50 NFL games. Name any one of them. Brought to you by Good Sense.